And by the way, just to be clear for anybody who doesn't understand, when we say down with the DC talk, we don't mean less of it or it's bad. We're being super hip with our DC talk from back in the day. Like, are you good with the DC talk? We like the DC talk, especially when it's a double dip of DC talk because he was in Washington, D.C. this last week, or at least, well, he's up in that vicinity anyway. And he joins us now, Mayor DC Reeves for the city of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. Always hip to be here.
Very good. All right, let's start with this. The downtown post office is closing. Why are you closing the post office, Mr. Mayor?
That's been the running joke amongst my friends.
Well, you're closing everything else. I mean, it must be you closing the post office, right?
Right.
A joke. Obviously a joke.
Exactly, of course. But no, the we were notified at the same time. As a matter of fact, I found out the landlord, which is not out of the normal USPS policy, but the landlord himself found out through the letter that they sent in PO boxes. So that's just, you know, at the federal level, that's how it works. Is mm-hmm. There's no heads up or anything like that. So what I've done
they is, didn't have like a comment period for this decision, did they? They didn't really go through public meetings.
No, including from the landlord. So,
right.
So they make that decision that they aren't going to renew. And I'm sure that the landlord has indicated that. I mean, if they're trying to develop and things like that. But point is, I'm trying to have a meeting set up with the regional contact tomorrow at 11. And again, really, if nothing else to say, you know, how can we help, preserve a location downtown? Can we help you find something? You know, I mean, it's my job as real estate agent or whatever to come in and make sure that because it does provide an amenity downtown.
Right,
and there's so many businesses and so many people that work there. It's been there as long as I can remember when me and my granddad walked down there when no one was there on the weekends back when I was a kid. That it was still open in there. So, I'm going to do what I can. I mean, this is definitely outside of anything that the city has any direct impact on, but it does impact us as a community. So I'm going to try to do my job and see if there's something I can do to find some kind of good alternative that would still give us a downtown presence.
And hey, you know, I think there's I see a pattern in your thinking about these kinds of things, and that pattern I appreciate. I think it's a very mature pattern. The pattern is, I don't control the schools, but if there's something I can do to make education better for our kids, I'm going to look into it. You know, and I don't control the post office, but if there's something I can do to solve this problem, you know, and I don't control the private parking lots, but if there's something I can do, look, this affects the experience we have of people downtown, and they blame me anyway. I might as well try to work on it. You know, like why?
Yeah, but correct on both counts.
Yeah, right.
But I think that's the, you know,
that's
the mayor's
gig,
job,
right?
Isn't just signing documents. You have the power to convene people. We did that on a completely separate topic yesterday. Just it's not our duty, but it's just our job to try to bring people together and come to solutions. So, we do the best we can on those things, especially even when they're not right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. What was your power to convene yesterday? What'd you do?
We actually had a meeting with the all the parade operators. And just trying to get on the same page about a few different things and ask them. Actually, there was a council action taken in 2009 that they asked the city manager to convene a group of the parade owners so they could help figure out how to mitigate costs. Lots of costs that go into a parade, police, public works. So my joke was, 14 years later, here's our first meeting at the parade. People that was decided by the 2009 city council. So and just to hear what I realized is we haven't had those conversations as a group, as a city, in at least 20 years. So why don't we make sure we're on the same page? Are we providing good service to the parade? How can we help mitigate some of these, rising costs on the city side? And so it's a great conversation, and we'll just continue to have those moving forward.
That's good.
So
sometimes, things take time in government. That's also just the reality of it. Let's talk a little bit about this parking survey. Very interesting stuff, including that 20% of people think that the city-managed lots have red signs. which is, not the case, right? And some comparable percentage think that the, the city lots the blue lots are the whatever. Just get confused about this. I thought the most interesting takeaway from this was, it wasn't the takeaway you mentioned yesterday in your press conference where you said that we don't have a parking problem during the day. We have a parking problem at night and weekends, which is when we don't charge. Ironically, everybody complains about the paid parking, but that's not the problem. It's what you said, right?
Exactly. That the largest complaint of when I can't find parking is that on weekend evenings, which is actually when we don't charge, at least in the blue spaces, we stop charging at 7 at this point.
Right.
So so you see it's an availability issue. And so that was a big takeaway for me. And I hate to burst some folks' bubble because they think about availability, but they have to understand there's a direct correlation between what you charge and the parking availability. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people that say, I hope all parking is free.
That's me.
But the reason that there is, so think about that. We aren't charging. And the biggest complaint is they can't find a spot at night when we aren't charging.
Right,
why do you think that is?
Right.
Because, you know, everyone can park everywhere. And so when you read Donald Shoup, when you read these experts, that's what they talk about is you have to find that happy medium. If there's an empty block of parking, it's too expensive. And if there, if it's a full block of parking and no one can ever find a space there ever, think about Palafox Street for free right now.
Right.
You can never find one there. We have people circle the block over and over. Why is that happening? Because it's free. That's what we're asking our consultant to look at and trying to find that happy medium between availability and cost.
So for me, I never try on Palafox because I know I won't be able to find a spot. But I always know I can find free spots somewhere. You know me, I'm your biggest enemy on this, if only because I'm the guy who doesn't want to pay 13 cents, period. I don't want to pay anything for parking. I keep feeling like my city streets get taken away from me gradually, you know, over and over. And as long as I can still find, and I can still find, there's plenty of abundant free parking as long as you're willing to walk a block or two. But if you start charging after 7, we're going to have words. But I understand the theory. I totally understand the theory, and there it is. Hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. We got traffic on the fives with Jake.
Got some slowdowns this morning to look at. Tiger Point construction traffic westbound in front of the Walmart. Avalon southbound just north of I-10 starting to slow down there. Highway 90 in front of Beulah Middle School. Normal morning congestion there. Fenderbender on Highway 29 earlier is looking okay. FHP is still on that scene. East Olive Road near the Goodwill heading eastbound is going to be a little slow. This traffic report is brought to you by Bobby Likas Auto Service. That's Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependent.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. A couple of things I thought were really interesting in the parking study. One was, how do you travel downtown? 79% personal vehicle or motorcycle, which is not surprising, but it confirms the drive-in is that's where most people get to downtown. And therefore, if parking or finding parking or congestion downtown is a problem, those people will make other choices. Then how easy is it for you to find a parking space? 28% extremely difficult, 45% somewhat difficult, combining 73% of people think that it kind of sucks to go downtown to park, somewhat or extremely. And then the last one, and I kind of get your reaction to this, is what's the maximum price you would pay for an hour of parking if it was like the perfect easy experience and no more than just getting out of your car and walking away, even at a no difficulty? 25% want free, most they'll pay. That's me. 19%, 50 cents an hour, 28%, a buck an hour. So price, at least according to people, really is a disincentive.
And you know what? I appreciated that stat after 5,100 people took it, because what I've said in town halls before is sometimes I'll get a passing comment about cost, and the reality is it's not about cost. It's about experience. It's about kiosk. How did my app work? The kiosk work, and where can I know to go find a space? So the city has work to do really in two instances in my mind. One is to do a better communication job of where these spaces are. The vast majority of spaces that the city owns are free.
Right.
So what we're actually talking about is that parking spot right in front of where you want to be is what's up for discussion.
That's
here.
That's true. Not, yeah, that's right.
It's not that we don't have any free spaces. I mean, we should probably just put signs to free parking. That only are a couple blocks away. We have significant amounts of free parking. So,
or it's the spot that you used to park in for free that now charges till 7, right? That's also an issue. But yeah, go ahead. Right. You're right.
Correct. But I think the second job we have to do, and you heard me say this yesterday, and I owe this to the citizens and everybody, really to the community, anybody who uses this as a user fee, is we've got to tell you what we're going to do with the money. And because here's the reality. If we went free right now, just to make a counterpoint, if we went just totally free, do we not have to repave those parking spaces anymore? Do we not have to beautify downtown? Do we not have, are those things? I mean, you're paying for those, Andrew, one way or the other. It's just now we're charging the user who is utilizing it versus I mean, those are not infrastructure expenses that would just go away if we started charging free. What would happen is over years of time, they would start emailing me and say, man, it really looks downtrodden down here. And there's many test cases of cities that went in, and that's what they talk about, like Donald Shute's title of his book, High Cost of Free Parking, is that you now don't have the money to go revitalize and beautify downtown. And so the big miss that I believe the city has had, and the one I'm taking on, is what are we, okay, we charge different hours, 50 cents, dollar, whatever it is, what are we doing with your money? And I don't think we've ever done a really good job of illustrating what we do with your money.
No, I think that
changes the conversation.
And that's a great, I mean, just to be sure that if the city costs more for something, people ought to understand what is the value I get for my extra cost, whether it's better fire service or better police service or anything else, what do I get for paying a little bit more? Hey, just a quick thing before we do the lightning round. I know you had a big discussion last week about this property John Schell has bought, kitty corner to the police station, the red brick building across from the skate park, and that there is not a good process in place for dealing with property owners who are just, again and again, recidivist fines because of not being in code compliance, and what do you do with that? And I'll give you my 3-second summary of what I said earlier in the show, which is, yep, I think Escambia County does this really well. First of all, if you're a multiple property owner, you can't sell any of those properties. It's spider webs to the other properties until you clean up each one. You can't sell the property until you solve the lien problem. And those being the two big things. And they're willing to distinguish between hard costs, like, you know, time and expense actually sunk, versus penalties. And so they're willing to waive down to the hard costs when somebody like inherits a property or something like that. But here's what they don't do and what I would kind of recommend. One is I think you ought to have the buyer be able to come and ask for a waiver before he's bought the property. He doesn't have standing yet, but he could ask. I mean, that might not ever work out in practice, but it's something to look into. And then the other one is, I really favor, if somebody's a really bad, like, they violate and violate and violate, seize the property. I mean, at some point, it's such a blight that just like not paying your property taxes ought to forfeit your property. So yeah, I know you guys are going to you're probably going to have a special meeting on this to talk about it, but those are just some things to keep in mind. And you may want to have somebody have somebody talk to Allison Rogers at the county and find out what they do, because I think they do this pretty well.
Yeah, and I would say on all counts, agreed in some shape or form on all counts, and we've really done a great job. Ryan Spikes has taken over at Code, has really brought some new, fresh ideas. And I absolutely agree with you. The pain point of this particular issue is the previous owner, who was a pain point for us forever. And now John, who's doing something good for the community, now has to, and he knew the lead was there, but he's also investing exponentially more money into that project than someone else's old fine. So you're right. It's a tough situation all around, including for us, right? It's like, hey, great. Right. You're investing and you're turning away blight in this area. That would be great for us. Yet it looks now we've got to go waive code fines and make it look like that we can do that all the time. So 100% agree. And yeah, certainly we'll look into many options. I know we are looking into some of those options already.
Good. No, it was just interesting because I've heard so many of these conversations at the commission meetings, and all of a sudden the city council didn't just even have the tools to talk about this the right way. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Exactly.
Lightning round. We always to end with the lightning round. Oh, we didn't even get to talk about the Mayor's Institute you went to. We'll come back to that next week. Good stuff.
That's right.
Did you have a teddy bear stuffed animal still in your possession from your youth?
Ooh, no. And actually, my mom is moving houses, so she's now giving me all the stuff that she's got.
You're getting the hand-me-outs, right?
Actually, in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, very, very good. Okay. Back in the day, where did you buy your music?
Oh, man.
Are you old enough to have bought music? I should ask.
No. The store at Cordova Mall right down by the Dillard's. I don't remember the name of it. It was the last store. Yeah, I was a mall shopper. I would play at the arcade, go get a cassette tape for my walk.
All right, cassette tapes. Well done, son. And then the last one is, I think it was Monday, was the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company. Does D.C. Reeves, as a dad, but also just as a person, do you have a favorite Disney movie or maybe two?
Ooh, I've kind of just been forced into the volume of top of mind. We just watched Little Mermaid. I don't know if that's my favorite.
The new one or the original?
Top of mind, it was like 2 days ago. The new one.
Okay.
The new one.
All right.
I would say, put me on the spot. I would say I'm a big Lion King fan. I like Lion King.
All right.
All the new stuff's good. The ones that's good for parents and kids, all that stuff I really enjoy.
No, that, and I agree. It's almost hard to come up with a bad answer to the question, so fair enough. D.C. Reeves, exactly, Mayor of Pensacola, look forward to talking to you again next week and to the city council meetings next week. But thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.